Here's a space so powerful it allows an ordinary fan to share a cheer with the owner of a team, a platform where supporters understand intricate details of players' rights, a setting that bridges the gap between the dressing room and the grandstand, a space where tactics meet opinion, transfer news meet gossip, and the VAR system meets social media, a space for the football tribe. Le Coco. La Space.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is a Thursday, a beautiful Thursday. Human Rights Day is the day that we're celebrating as we remember the Sharpeville massacre in our country. I'd like to take this moment and welcome you all for joining this space, where we converge and have conversations that are football related. And today it is no different as we meet here and we're about to discuss one of the largest fixtures we can experience in the upcoming CAF Champions League quarterfinal. I took the time to invite the relevant people, as I always do, and I'm glad to see them here. Let me first thank you for taking your time and availing yourself and being here. And also take this time and thank our sponsors, Hollywood Bet. Le Coco La Space, powered by Hollywood Bet, is the name of our show. And we progress in terms of football. Mto, I see you here. I see my other speakers also here. I'm trying to send him the mic so that we can have this conversation. Mr. Arafat, please accept the mic. Mto will be my co-host, and for obvious reasons, because there's no one in the country who understands Tanzanian football more than Mto. And I'd like to thank him highly for making time for us and for availing the speakers that we have this evening. Mto, welcome to the space, my brother.
Thank you so much, my brother. Truly appreciate, man. It's always a joy to be here, man, and talk football. I look forward to the conversations this evening. And greetings to everyone. Greetings to my vice president. Thank you.
I see the vice president is also here. Mr. Arafat, welcome to the space. Your mic is still muted, so please.
Sorry, I've unmuted now. Thank you very much. I'm pleased to be joining you today, alongside Imtho, in talking about African football, but more to discuss on the upcoming one of the biggest games in African football that is about to happen next week. Thank you very much.
You must be feeling excited. You must be feeling excited.
I am. We played Sundowns 23 years ago, so playing them again this time, when they are at their best, we are at our best. It's very exciting, so we are looking forward to that.
Gentlemen, I've just to put it out there, we've sent an invite to Sundowns, and it is a holiday, so yeah, we have to understand. So we've got Mpo on their behalf, and to, from a Sundowns point of view, from a Sundowns fan point of view, because I've realized one thing about the Tanzanian football community is that the administration on top and the fans, they usually speak the same language, they're usually aligned, they usually move in the same direction, and they're easily accessible. And I think that's one thing we can also learn from our side. Mamposa, welcome to the space, my brother.
Good evening, Cox, and thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure to always have you here, and let me thank you for taking your Human Rights Day and availing yourself as we have this conversation, because we are about to speak to a prominent figure, the vice president of Yanga FC, the Yanga that you've been scared of facing, Mamposa.
I'm not sure about the scared part. We welcome as a good adversary to have. We see what they are doing. We appreciate the good work that they are doing in Tanzania, lifting the Tanzanian flag, and we are glad that Skudu Makudubela, a product of our development, is there. Our former coach is there, so there's a couple of things that Yanga is doing the Sundowns way,
as they call them, Young Sundowns.
We are also wearing same colors.
Yes, that's the interesting thing. The colors are the same. So it's going to be tough for you to say the yellow shirts must get free entry, Maposa.
Look, the yellow shirt free entry, it will only be Sundowns and Yanga. So it's going to be interesting. But the one thing, Cox, I have to say is the appreciation of, from an ownership of Yanga. When you see football evolving the way that is evolving, the way that it's moving forward, there's a lot of investment that the club has done. You look at the village that they have that can be able to house the players, that can be able to have training, that can be able to make their football better. The coaches that they bring, because you would remember that Mr. Gamondi replaces a certain Nabi. So Yanga are doing quite a number of things that are saying, tick those boxes, and when they are now at the stage whereby they are competing to be champions of the continent, and when they do become that, can we please not have people say it's overnight success or it was by accident?
True that. Interesting conversation ahead of us, ladies and gentlemen. You are more than welcome to catch other episodes of our podcast on the Coca-Cola Space. We're available on Spotify. We are also available on Apple Podcasts. We are available on YouTube as well. So do take time, subscribe. Nto, let me start with you, because we're having a conversation about Tanzanian football, and there's no one in the country that knows, one, their league better than you, two, the administration side of it better than you. We saw Senzo, and I think maybe that's a proper place to depart for this conversation. We saw Senzo going the other way and being one of the administrators. He's currently in Botswana, but that was then our link to the Tanzanian football. And a lot of things happened, and a lot of admirable things are happening that side that we can learn from as a footballing community.
Yeah, look, man, quite interesting, man. I think you're right. I mean, when Senzo moved to Tanzania, I think it obviously piqued our interest in the league, just to see what he would do, and him crossing the floor to Young Africans at a very crucial time. I mean, you'd remember before Vice President and the current president of Young Africans, before they got into the office, there was a period where Young Africans struggled a bit. So just watching that transition, how they managed to sort of turn things around and have the team compete to a place where it's now in a top eight of a CAF Champions League, where it's in a place where it gets to a final of a CAF Confed, CAF. I think it's just been incredible to watch. For me, the most exciting thing is that Young Africans is led by young leaders, I think it's just incredible. It says that young people are capable of driving football clubs and taking them to the next level. So really exciting just to see all that.
And Mr. Arafat, there's something that I have to admire about your team and Tanzanian football in general. And I think maybe this is the right time for me to ask you. The link the administration has with the supporters, it's as if you guys speak the same language. It's as if you guys live in the same house. They are easily accessible, and you are also easily accessible as an administrator. How do you get that right, and what significance do you think that builds for the team, especially for a team that's trying to grow within the African continent?
Well, again, thank you very much for inviting me. And I'm not sure if you had seen whether the videos or picture Mtho was taking when he was in Tanzania, especially during our parades.
I saw that.
You saw them. So, the nature of our club, they're naturally belonging to the people. Our slogan is, we are called a people's club, wananchi, citizens. So, everything that we do is reflecting to our people who are following our clubs. And here it's one of the family norms in Tanzania. If you're not the other side of the city, you are younger. So everyone, it's within the family, and it goes far beyond that. That people within the family, they have strong rivals, and so that energy to compete within the family, it's what drives the fans to get closer to their teams, and that allows the administration part to also integrate that, so that we closely communicate with our people. But the structures we have built, I'll speak in terms of our transformation process that we had started a couple of years ago. A bit of a background: in 2018-19 season, our club went through a financial turmoil. We struggled a lot, and then that also was so emotional to the people. You would see people during the games passing buckets at the stadium, trying to contribute money, making sure that the team survives. So you could, that is another part of it, the spirit that people have. So during that time, then we said, no, this is over. It has to end now. The club should not go back there. So with that process of transformation, we built our transformation pillars, and one of the transformation pillar is our fans and members. We have been saying that we have got numbers, but where are these numbers? How do you ascertain that you have got the numbers? So we came up with a program of registering our fans, identifying where our fans are geographically, gender, age-wise, so that we could also be able to structure anything based on the criteria of the fans, depending on where they are, what's their age.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it's also easy to communicate with all our fans. You can easily flash a message, boom. Everybody hears what's about to happen from the club. But we have got another culture that is also helping us in Tanzania. You see, we have got spokesman for the club, spokesperson. These guys are the link between the club and our people. So they connect the club agenda and transmitting the same to the people. You could have seen it. You would rarely see people traveling in Africa following their club. But we played in Rwanda. The stadium was full house, and at least 95%, if not 98%, it was younger fans. We came to South Africa, we played Marumo Gallants. We had fans traveling from Tanzania through a bus all the way from Tanzania to South Africa. We had people close by South Africa, Botswana, Angola, and the people living in South Africa. They were all coming to support the club. So it's a club that has got strong roots in terms of how it cooperates with that, with its members.
And Mpo, let me bring you in, because you know the vice president is mentioning something very important, and it's something that I think we had in the country. It seems to be fizzling out a bit as the structures become more refined, for lack of a better word. He's speaking about the spokesperson being one of the integral part, and this would then take me back and say the spokesperson would then be the PRO, where we had the likes of Bului Chakwan, the likes of Da Alex, those are the people that we have, the likes of Bumik. We seem to see that fizzle out a bit. Do you think we're heading in the right direction, where communication now is would be in a form of print, would be in a form of social media, but not necessarily from the club spokesperson?
Look, and Cox, for me, it's like the vice president saying at the moment, is that there's many ways of communicating and there's many platforms of communicating. You will always have different pockets of supporters in different aspects. You will have those that are very much informed in terms of from a social media perspective, from an internet perspective. But for our continent and where we are, there's still that thing about somebody talking about a team. Because when your spokesperson now goes onto a radio station, talks to you, he can talk to you at that moment in time. You don't want to necessarily say, this is the right way. It's a marketing mix of, you have a spokesperson who will communicate. I mean, you could have a spokesperson that's able to go on radio. There's so many platforms. Twitter is not the only one, and internet is not the only one. You want to be sitting where you can be able to say a radio station can be able to invite you and talk. I mean, one of the things that when you then talk to someone like Mahlatsi, and he says, yo, Bramphosa, the supporters, the way that they are, the way that they engage with the club, the way that the communication team engages with the club, those are the things that there is not one method. And it also helps to have the face of the organization be able to take messaging from management to, as they would say, is the Wananchi, the people that support Yanga, that are able to then take that. Because you must remember, if I tweet something, I can leave it for the next half an hour. But if you go on a radio station, you hear people talking, you hear people communicating their feelings, their emotion. Is it after a loss? Is it after a win? I mean, right now the team is preparing for one of their biggest games, being Sundowns. They're talking, what's the feeling like? You can't get those things on social media, and it becomes a pivotal part of the communication machinery to be able to communicate with that. And for that, I take my hat off to the team.
Mto, the vice president mentions also something very important when he says the traveling fans coming into the country, going to Botswana and in various parts of Africa. I want to highlight their run in the Confederation Cup, because I think that's the reason why we would then go to the Champions League and think that they're able to compete. That they've shown their pedigree, they've shown what it is that they want, they've clearly stated their intentions there. That run that they had, and we will talk about them ultimately not being able to get through that hurdle. How much did it do for them, as from your point of view and knowing the team and following the team, in terms of attracting players? One, because we're seeing one of those players going the other way, and two, being a team that is known now in the continent.
Look, man. I think that run last season obviously came after there was a period of I think 4 years, which Vice President mentions, where the team was not doing very well financially, which affected the performances. And Simba obviously dominated during that period. So that run followed up after a season where they swept everything. So it was now the second season where they were sweeping everything. I think they had done very well on the domestic front, and are now coming to the continent. I think they showed that, look, they could come back and compete on the continent. But I think it's also all down to the recruitment. I think the recruitment has been exceptional. I mean, I look at the kind of players that they've attracted in recent seasons, man. Incredible players, man. That some that I've had conversations with and asked to say, but why are you not playing in South Africa? And they've said to me, no, man, I want to be here. You know, I love the environment here. I love the passion of the fans. I love the kind of support that they get from management. That close relationship, man, it's incredible. I think the most touching thing that I've seen in during my visits to Tanzania was where after the team wins a trophy, where the players go to the clubhouse and they present it to the fans. And that connection, man, it's just, it's priceless, man. You can't buy it anyway. So I think all these things are all coming together and contributing to a you know, a team that's growing and progressing tremendously. So it'll be interesting to see how they kick on from here where they are now.
And Mr. Arafat, let's talk about the recruitment of players, because we saw it was such a great spectacle, and I loved the way that you presented Makudu. That was the first time I took interest in your preseason as well as you presenting the players. I've always followed the team throughout the season, but that phase of the game, of the team where you guys introduce players in the preseason. One, you can't compete with an Al Ahly's budget. You cannot compete with the Sundowns budget, you know, and the other big teams, you know, Esperance and all of them. These are the big boys in the continent. How are you able to try and recruit the talent that will get you to still be in the stage of the tournament, because for you to be in the quarterfinals of the Champions League, that's huge. And it's not only huge for Yanga, but I'm also looking at it from Simba, where it is this, it is a country now that is able to produce two quarterfinalists in a Champions League. That says a lot about the country and the ambition of the country in this tournament. How do you guys do it without necessarily having to have huge financial power?
Thank you again, Neko. First I have to say that we have to commend our government for being very considerate in terms of how we develop our football. That is why you see, our national team went to AFCON. Now in the CAF Champions League, we've got two teams in the quarterfinals. It's all because of the support that we've been getting from the government under Mama Samia Suluhu Hassan, in terms of how we can run the clubs, the support in terms of government being close to the clubs, to navigate challenges facing in terms of regulatory authorities. If you look, we started back then, we were able to only recruit less than five players, foreign players, and out of the five, you would only be allowed to use maybe three and not use all five in a single game. But we gradually improved, went to 10, and now we're at 12. And you're allowed to have all 12 players play in a single game. You can play 11 and then one on the sub. In terms of our equipment, again, we understood our challenges, as you mentioned, our financial challenges. We cannot compete with Ahli, we cannot compete with Masandawana in terms of their budgets. And how do we navigate that? So we have invested in our network in Africa, all over Africa, but we have also invested in our brand. We created a brand that attracts talents. We created a brand and a structure that showed players that if you can play for Yanga, you can equally be successful. If you have missed a chance to be playing at Masandawana or playing at Ahli or somewhere in North Africa, you can still play in Yanga and you can still be successful. And another factor is Tanzania is one of the very few countries in Africa which has all our Premier League games broadcasted live. That is another factor that attracts talents in Tanzania. So that has given us an opportunity to enhance our scouting, to build the network across Africa. It was very rare to see West African players coming to play in Tanzania and East Africa, talented West Africans. Skudu Makudubela, I think there's never been a South African coming to play in East Africa and Tanzania before Skudu. It has opened up that market that, okay, if I go to Tanzania, my chances of being seen all over the world to play in South Africa or to play in North Africa. But we have acknowledged that we are not powerful financially. We may bring in players and in a few years an opportunity may come in for the players. We might not be able to hold long onto that player. So we have given an opportunity to our players to use our club as a conduit. You have seen last season we had Mayele going to Pyramids. 2 years ago, we had another striker from Congo, Makambo. He went to went to Guinea, Horoya. We have had players like Msuva going to play in North Africa as well. So we are recruiting talents, trying to build the brand of the club, but strengthening our financial muscles so that we can be in the same level as the big giants in Africa and compete. But most important in where the success story is our network in Africa. We've built that very strong network, see, with scouts, agents, and some academies in Africa to try and feed us some of their very best talents.
And you know, thank you for that. And Paul, I think what the VP is touching on, you might have to, do you have something to add on to that?
No, I think one of the things that you've got to look at younger, and you've got to look at how they do things, because there was a certain worry when the previous coach Nabi left whether there would be continuity. And as a club, and I always say the club always takes direction from the leadership. You could be sitting and crying in every single interview about how talent left, Finston left, and there's so many players that are leaving. But it's about having and saying, we're going to empower our resources. Our network becomes important. How we are able to go and scout for players to be able to join Yanga. How you... Now, that tells you about the team that says, we've got ambition. We want to grow. And there's also the understanding that football is a business. There will be players that are sold, and you are able to use those revenues to be able to get into different markets, get into different scouting, be able to be seen. And it's how you see yourself. You don't see yourself in every situation as a victim. Every situation a coach goes, it's an opportunity to say, let's get a new coach, let's get new players. And you look at what has happened, it's almost nothing ever happened. The team has just carried on moving forward. And for me, from to the vice president, I would just like to know how he felt after they beat their rivals by 5 goals.
And you know, that question also, I'll take it to Mr. Arafat. Them beating their arch rival by such a huge margin, it not only sends a message to people in the country, but it also sends a message to people in the continent to say, we want to compete, we want to dominate, and we want to be the leading team in the country, because it's something that we've also noticed here in South Africa. Mr. Arafat, and I'll come to you, Mto, just a minute now. Mr. Arafat, the huge scoreline that you were able to give to your opponent, how did that now set you as a team to be noticed, and all the focus needing to go to you guys?
Thank you again, Lepo. You know, such a scoreline, they rarely happen in the derbies, especially in the biggest derbies in Africa, in the world. They rarely happen. But we had, mentioned earlier, ours is a project. It's a project that started 4 years ago. We had gone through very tough times in our project. There was a time we faced almost the entire squad. Then we had to bring in almost every position a new player. So we were building that project, and slowly it has started yielding the results. You saw it last season. We played the final in the CAF Confederations Cup. This season, our aim was to play in the group stages. We managed to do that after 23 years. We did that. And now we are into the quarterfinals. We have never been here before. But talking of the derby scoreline, derby is always an unpredictable encounter. So we went to the derby knowing that we had the chance to win. We are a better squad currently in Tanzania compared to, no doubt about that, compared to all other teams in Tanzania. Understood the squad, the opponent we were facing. We knew how we could overcome their strengths, and we knew how we could take advantage of their weaknesses. We prepared our team very well, but most importantly is we built our players to understand the importance and the significance winning against Simba, but winning on a very good margin. Coincidentally, we all never thought that we could do it, but a few days before that, we were trying to convince our team that it is possible. We can replicate the record. I mean, we can show Simba that we can be better than you. We are the best team in Tanzania currently. And we did it. And I don't know if you had seen it. So, I mean, Dube might have seen it. There were billboards all over the country displaying the win. Billboards were put all over the country. Some, and you'd be surprised that most of these billboards were not put by the club. They were put by the fans. There were some businesses that even sponsored those billboards to be put there. It's because of the how important the win was. But we had strong determination from our squad. We have got a very good coach. You know Gamondi. He's been at Sundowns. He's been in South Africa. He came at a time when we had just lost our coach Nabi. We had just lost Mayele, and everyone was with the type of people Yanga had lost. As Info had said, it won't be possible to replicate what they did last season. And if you look at what we have done this season, we have not only scored 5 goals in a game against Simba only, but we have done almost 8 games this season, scoring a margin of 5 goals. And it has become a norm whenever we get 1-2 and then fans are already chanting, 3 more, 2 more, 1 more. So it is already becoming part of our DNA now. And we hope to capitalize on that. Thank you very much.
And thank you for that. We are going to touch on your coaches. We are going to touch on the project that you mentioned. We are going to touch on your opponents and how well it is that you know. We're also going to touch on what we witnessed with Joanne coming that side. But before I do that, I have to take a quick ad break because I have to go to the markets basically and just, you know, pay the people that keep the lights on. So we will discuss on those topics. Ladies and gentlemen, I see the request that you've put in. I'm not ignoring your request. I will take your request. Quarter two, we will take the request so that you can ask your questions to the vice president. You can ask your question to To. You can ask your question to Mamposa, and we're going to have this conversation. Let's just quickly dash to the ad break, and then we'll come back.
A wave builds like the arched neck of a horse. With a free-flowing mane, gravity takes over as the wave gushes forward in an eruption of foaming champagne. Pressed white breeches and brightly colored silks mirror a tapestry of towels on the beach. Marvel at the power of nature. It leaves one in awe beyond speech. 18 thoroughbreds emerge from the start, like a wave racing towards the shore. Jockeys jostle for early position, each striving for more and more. As the crowd urges their fancies on, with each stride the horses draw near. The roar from the stands echoes the roar of the waves as they jump, shout, and cheer. The latest champion is crowned, a wave of new sensations found. As the sun sets low, there's still time to play. Ride the wave. It's Hollywood Bets Durban July Day. Africa's greatest horse racing event.
Africa's greatest horse riding event. Mamposa, Durban July, Ride the Wave, that's the theme for this year. Have you ever been there? Because I always hear you talking about, you know, the Derby being like the Hollywood Bets Durban July. Can you just please elaborate on that before we carry on with our conversation?
Well, yeah. Look, Cox, the Durban July is a top event from a horse racing perspective. And over the years, it has evolved into not just being about a horse racing event. It's an event that Durban looks forward to. It's an event that the province looks forward to. It's an event that Greyville looks forward to hosting people. It's got fashion shows that are going galore. It's got entertainment that is happening there. And it's a marquee event for horses to be able to show what they've got. Every stable, from the Oppenheimer stables and all the stables that are there, they want their best horses to be able to run. And everybody wears their best clothes. Some don't even see the main horse race. That's how big the event has become.
All right, and Ride the Wave is the theme for this year. So yeah, be on the lookout for the Durban July. There will be more communications coming out. Look out for my timeline. There will definitely be more communication on the Ride the Wave. I'm excited. Nto, let me come to you because I've been putting you on the sideline. I think it's time I put you in the conversation. And I'm going to go directly to this question. Nto, you know South African football very well. You know Tanzanian football. But we know that you are very close, or you are closer to Tanzanian football than you are in South African football. Have you ever been approached to say, look, give us insight in terms of how teams that side play, give us insight in terms of Mamelodi Sundowns, how they approach their match?
No, man, not really. Yeah. Look, it's I think usually it's journalists or journalist colleagues in Tanzania who want to interview me and just pick my mind on how Sundowns plays and yeah, not necessarily the clubs. But yeah, like you say, look, I fall in love with the Tanzanian game and particularly young Africans, you know. So yeah, look, I do speak to the media in terms of what's happening here and which players they can look out for and all that, because there's a lot of excitement also from a Tanzanian point of view. They follow Sundowns a lot. They follow the South African PSL. So yeah, they would have a lot of questions just around the league. Yeah, but from a club perspective, no, they've never asked me.
And I'm glad. Okay, no, I'm not gonna say I'm glad because we don't know. But hopefully I hope they get to tap into you because I think you have a wealth of knowledge, Mr. Arafat. Let me just come back to you. Losing Nabi, that was a big blow, and a lot of people thought, you've lost Nabi, that means you've lost your spark, you've lost that edge that you had. But you go and search for Mr. Gamondi, a well-known coach in Africa, a well-known coach by Sundowns. He was the co-coach when him and Neil Tovey won the league, and he seems to have plugged in and playing properly. He fits in like a glove. You guys are top of the log right now. You've played 20, won 17, you know, lost one, draw two, and that's a good record when you look at it, especially from a coach that has just come in. How big of a blow was it, and how hard was it for you guys to now try and find somebody of Mr. Gamondi's stature?
Oh, it was, no, to be honest, it was very difficult time. It was for us, as I said, it's a project. We wanted to make sure that there is that continuity in our project. We wanted to build something that has a coach that can help the club build a philosophy. We are not a club that, rather our leadership style is not a leadership that easily succumbs to pressure from the fans that fire that coach. We don't need that player, we don't need that guy. There were moments, even with Nabi, especially during the qualification stages in last season in Confederations Cup, there came a very huge pressure that, you know, Nabi was not enough for the team. But we knew what we wanted to build, and we believed in Nabi. We trusted that Nabi was the right guy for our project. We supported him a lot, making sure that we succeed in the tournament that we were participating. We hoped that after the achievement we've done together, playing in the final of Confederations Cup, with our plannings for the next season, meaning this season, to making sure that we qualify for the Champions League, we had anticipated that we would still have Nabi. So it was very unfortunate losing him. But for us, it's always about looking ahead and looking forward. When we lost Nabi, we said, okay, we need something much bigger than what we had. Someone with a very huge CV in African football, someone who understands African continent and how the Champions League football is being competed. And we looked at a couple of other CVs, and Miguel came on top. In all aspects, Miguel came on top. And it was a new name in Tanzania. Nobody was speaking of Miguel before our announcement of him. Nobody knew how was Miguel playing. But we had done our research. We had looked at Miguel. We underwent interviews with him, understanding his philosophy. It matched our requirement. You know, we're a club that loves playing football. We enjoy football. We, our fans enjoy football. And Miguel was a plug and play. We didn't lose most of our squad. We lost Mayele. We had released Morrison and Priscilla back to his club. Morrison finished his contract. So our squad never changed a lot. We just strengthened a bit our squad, brought in the new players that, and rightly, we brought the players before we had, we brought the coach first before the player. So we had brought the players by making sure that they fit into the coach's philosophy. That's why it was very easy for Miguel to settle in, to be able to build what we are seeing today. And as I said, our leadership is very supportive all the way from our coaching staff, to our players, to our administrative staff. Even the cook at our camp is very close to the management. And that's how we are living in our club, which makes the harmony in the club, everyone playing for Yanga, feeling the emotions of being a Yanga player, feeling the emotion of being a Yanga coach, or anyone at the disposal of serving the club. And I'm seeing Coach Olani is here. I'm sure even if by any chance he happens to join the club in the future, he would even forget Masandawana.
I like how you're lobbying. You're always a vice president on work.
Cox, yeah. The transfer window is not open, so vice president, you cannot tap yet.
So let me come in here with the Miguel Gamondi factor. I think it's a very huge factor psychologically. As somebody that has brought on success onto the team that you guys are playing right now, it's one. It speaks to the fans of Sundowns to say, Yanga means business. Yanga might know what you're up to. Yes, I understand it. It's a long time ago, but the mere fact that he brought on success psychologically, there's something there. How big a factor do you think that's going to be? Because he would know Loftus. He's played, he's coached the team that has played in Loftus. You know, that's where he won the league.
Yeah, look, man. Look, it's sometimes it's big, man. And obviously, you know, the coach, the guys at Young Africans, they follow the South African league. So I'm sure they would have more exposure in terms of how Sundowns plays and all that than, you know, the other way around. But obviously, you know, being a... I mean, Sundowns are meticulous in terms of their preparations, you know, for these games. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that would have much of an impact because look, honestly, you know how Sundowns prepares for these games. I've not seen a club that prepares for you know, on the continent the way that Sundowns prepares. So I don't think that would have much of a bearing on this particular game. Perhaps the only thing that I could add is when you look at how Gamond has come in, the players are just looking at the top scorers in Young Africans. And the top five scorers for the team are players that have joined the club in the last 2 years. and I mean, they've scored 49 goals in 20 games in the league. So Fiston leaves, but still the team continues to score goals. In some games, scoring 5. So they all need to bring their scoring boots when they play Sundowns, because I mean, you need to score goals to win games. So from a confidence point of view, I think that would be something they'd want to carry into that game.
And no, it's not easy to score against this current Sundowns, and I'm talking about the Chameleon Sundowns. They don't concede easily, whether home or away. So that's the challenge.
Yeah, look, they don't really concede much, because I mean, when you look at the number of clean sheets they've kept, both you know, locally and also on the continent, I think it tells you the story. But look, it's a game of small margins, man. So yeah, I know, especially in at the Benjamin Mkapa, young Africans sometimes turn into a whole different team. I mean, you saw what they did to CR Belouza died. I didn't expect that they would. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting, man. It's gonna be very interesting.
Mr. Arafat, Mto mentioned the fact that Sundowns prepares meticulously. They might have changed the way they play. They might be on a Chameleon football phase right now, where you don't know what's coming, and then there's a tongue that's going to come, and you know. But one thing that remains constant is the amount of work that Sundowns does outside of the field. Whether it be going to a venue early and preparing and checking out the environment, checking out the way that the team plays, whether it be the analysis of how your team plays, whether it be the climate in terms of where the players will stay, where the players will live, what training grounds will be done. So administratively, you never find the Sundowns wanting. And I think that's what has given them their edge. Is this the approach that you yourself would be taking with regards to the match coming, the second leg coming to South Africa? And two, administratively, how prepared are you guys to say, we would like to give this thing a full go and give this match a full go? Because I personally, I think most of Sundowns wins most of their battles because of the preparation. The coach that would have the intel on how you guys play and preparation now.
Well, for me, I'll speak specifically on the point you have raised, but I'll also go generally. And for me, football is more than a game. It goes further beyond all aspects of life. It's a game that goes down to history of great relationships and background that especially our two nations have, from Nkosi Sikelel to Nyerere Mandela relationship. So this is more than a game for us. You listen at the two national anthems of the two countries, they're equally the same. They're the same. So it's more than a game. But we played Sundowns in 2001. Between 2001 and now, it's 23 years, and a lot has changed. And to be honest, we are learning from Sundowns. They have developed, they have changed. We are learning from them, but for 23 years, our football has also changed. 20 years ago, most of our clubs were being coached by, especially the big clubs, they were being coached by local coaches only. You would not see a huge number of foreign coaches coaching the clubs in Tanzania. So much has changed. And from my personal point of view, for us to get better to the levels of Sundowns, this was a much needed fixture. We needed this fixture to assess our level. And since Champions League football, it means about locking horns with our fellow giants. And who is the giant in Africa? If you're not facing Mamelodi is among the giants in Africa. And all with all due respect to what Masandawana has achieved, this fixture has its own way of playing. It's a knockout stage. It needs a proper objective football. And talking of a proper objective is basically what we have mentioned. You need to prepare well. You need to know where you're going to stay. You need to know where you're going to train. When, how long, what is the weather in South Africa on in April would be like. You know, we came to South Africa to play Marumo. It was extremely cold compared to Tanzania. So we knew the weather, we knew the conditions of where we were going to play. We prepared very well on that. So I'm not saying that we are at the levels of Sundowns in terms of how they are preparing, in terms of how they are analyzing their games. The size of the analysts' squad that they're having in doing analysis for the opponents. But playing against Sundowns, there's no losing meaning in football. It's all about winning on and off the pitch. It will be 180 minutes of learning, no matter who will be knocked out. But for us, this game is about two best clubs from the southern part of Africa, eastern part of Africa. And I'm very sure that this will be one of the most watched games than a Champions League game in Africa. We are prepared. We are prepared to make that long-awaited dream to be a reality. Sundowns, they're the best, but we are also one of the best in Africa, and we are trying to follow their footsteps. Dube has been following our club and has been able to write some very good stories about our clubs. It's because we are learning from the best, the likes of Masandawana. And from the solidarity of our two nations, we hope that this fixture will provide so much knowledge to us than the results that most people are looking at.
Let me give a chance to Sports Blaze. I see you've requested and I've accepted your mic. Go ahead. Question, comment.
Thank you very much, host, for letting me in. Sports Blaze, of course, are from Uganda, Kampala. I would love to mention something about the success story that Yanga, together with Simba, have had. I think one thing that the two teams have been able to is that they've been able to establish themselves as regional giants. First of all, that's the first step that they made to ensure their success. In that, if you talk about football in the CECAFA region, it's hard for you to forego these two clubs. It will be very unfair. And then on top of that, they have gone ahead they have had a couple of factors contributing to their success. One, I would say sacrifice, because before arriving here, these clubs have put in money, they have incurred losses. But sacrifice, vision, and foresight, I would say, have contributed a lot to their success in that now they're rubbing shoulders on the continent. Now they're able to have teams go into the last eight of the CAF Champions League. Last year, Yanga were there in the final, meaning that really these teams have achieved growth in terms of what they look up to in the future. And then on top of the sacrifice, vision, and foresight, Yanga has been able to establish a good scouting network, in that they've tapped into the best players that we have. First of all, in the region, we have players like Khalid Aucho coming in from the Uganda. He's a vice captain of the national team. And then within the Tanzania league, they've been able to get some of the best talent that is available. And then on top of that, their scouting network has as well been able to go beyond the region outside to West Africa, whereby they've been able to tap in into national team material, looking at players like Stefan Aziz from Burkina Faso, national team material. Talk about Gift Fred from Uganda, still I've already talked about Khalid Aucho, looking at Kennedy Musonda, a couple of other players that are national team material, not forgetting the goalkeeper from Mali, Jigwe Diarra. So when you put all these factors, these are decent players, and at the end of the day, we feel able to have national team players into your club, then that means that you're a club that has grown in terms of your vision, in terms of what you're looking at, and then of course having a stable administration as well allowed the teams like Yanga to go ahead and see that they grow in terms of their football. So when you talk about them going head to head with Sundowns, definitely Sundowns will know that they're taking on they're not going to be taking on a team made up of fishermen. They're taking on a team that has got quality, just like the Sundowns have got quality. They've also got national team material, and then they've been to continental final in the previous campaign. Thank you very much, Mr. Host.
Bragox, I see you clapping your hands. Yeah?
Bragox, I think after Sports Blaze said that, and I think it's important, and I need to know that the Vice President has a pulse. Mr. Vice President, are you here, sir?
I am still online.
I think Africans, we have this thing of not being able to receive. And I need you, Mr. Vice President, to understand the following. You have earned your keep to be in this stage of the Champions League. You have done well to be at this stage of the league, and you have done everything with your administration to be here, and that should be commended. You do well to fill the Benjamin Mkapa Stadium week in and week out. And I think if I don't say this, there are people who are here who will fight me as a Sundowns supporter. The best way that we can give you accolades as Sundowns is to say to our Chameleon Football, we will bring the best of Sundowns, and we hope to meet you at Benjamin Mkapa Stadium with the best of Yanga. Let's give Africa a show that they can never forget. And we do it again in Pretoria when you come this side.
I fully concur with you. As I said earlier, that this is going to be one of the most watched games in Africa than any other game. We'll make sure the stadium is packed for the two yellow nations to make sure that we are giving a most entertaining football that has ever been seen in a Champions League. We understand, as you mentioned, the chameleon style of Masandawana. We have built our squad to be able to adapt to any environment. It's very rare to see a team coming from East Africa and winning away. That shows we are learning from the best of the chameleon style. And we will give you a very nice reception in Tanzania.
And thank you for that. Thank you for mentioning that, because what's important here is the football. I know time's against us, but before I close the space, I have to touch on this topic, Mr. Arafat, because I feel it's important for the sake of African football. We witnessed scenes that were not so pretty, and it was on a footballing scale. Everyone was watching. Everyone witnessed what was happening. There was the whole Jwaneng incident, and that has brought on the microscope on the Tanzanian football, and whether or not is it safe to go there, is it not safe to go there. You know, how much of a dent has that incident, an unfortunate incident, done in terms of the Tanzanian football? Because you guys have grown so much, and there's so much that's expected from you guys.
Well, a football, and if I have to go back to the history, it's one of the games that was used to unite, especially Africans during the various fights of freedom, whether revolutions in Africa. Football was one of the aspects that was used to bring together the people, to allow people to meeting in strategizing, planning on how they can overcome the challenges they are having back then. At Yanga, we do not support acts of unsportsmanship. We enjoy football. We want football to be played on an open field without any challenges. It's very unfortunate that the incidences that happened during that game had happened. It is not something that we cannot speak of the other club, but we can speak of football in general. We are not in support of such actions. And football is an open game, especially in the 21st century. I mentioned there during my opening remarks that Tanzania is one of the league, Tanzania Premier League, NBC Premier League is one of the leagues in Africa that is broadcasted live all our games. So anything that you would do that is not in line with the football will definitely be seen, whether by the live broadcast or people recording, because we are in a technology era. We want to assure Masandawana that they will be playing a worthy opponent. They will be meeting friends rather than enemies. They will be coming to Tanzania to play a very beautiful football, and they will get a very good game against Yanga. We are not supporting any acts that are not in the normal course of the football, and be it any support when Mamelodi are in Tanzania that they will need from us, we'll be more than happy to support them. We want to make their life as hospitable as they would expect. As I said, our two nations have got a very long history. We hosted the freedom fighters of South Africa here in Tanzania. We even have a camp in Morogoro at Mzumbe, which had hosted South Africans when they were fighting for their freedom. Even when Mandela passed away, he had his boots taken from Tanzania back to South Africa, showing that the solidarity the two nations have had over the years. And we want to assure Masandawana that we are one of the very best hosts in Tanzania when it comes to football. And I want to send my greetings of solidarity from the people of United Republic of Tanzania. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I know we've come to the end of our space, but before we close off the space, I just wanna, one, if send out a message, maybe for Coach Rulani, if he'd want to say hi to you. Coach Rulani, if you are up to it, you can just say hi to the Vice President of Yanga. We'll just give you that, we'll allow you that platform. And secondly, I would also like to make the listeners aware of the fact that, because there's a lot of requests and it seems like there's going to be a lot of post-match discussion, post-space discussion rather. I so love football. Post-space discussion about what's happening. So I see all the requests that are happening. There's going to be a space after this one. We're gonna shut down the space, but we'll open another space. Saying also open the space. I'll be a speaker in that space. Then you can join in the space. That's how you'll be able to track the space. We see all the Tanzanian football lovers. You will get a platform there where we'll discuss exactly what it is that you want to have your thoughts on with regards to the match. Mwemedi, I'm gonna give you quickly 10 seconds. Then I'll close it off with Mto. Then we can shut the space down so that everybody else will have a chance to give their input.
Okay, thank you, Coach. Good evening to everyone. I just have a follow-up question to Mr. Vice President. What do you ask him? So, Mr. Vice President, some of us have taken his board already to come and support our club, Mamelodi Sundowns, Texas. But your Minister of Police, we've been seeing him on social media, videos that we must carry our passport and all that. So we don't carry passports. You know, that you remind us of the painful past of our parents carrying dorm passes. So how safe it is for us to come there with, because I don't want to come there and carry my passport, you know, in the stadium and all that, Mr. President. Can you assure us that it will be safe, that side? Because I'm looking to cancel my flight ticket to Tanzania.
All right, thanks, Mwemedi. Mr. President, quickly, then we can shut the space.
I want to assure him and every other South African who want to come and watch the game that they would be at a very peaceful moment watching and enjoying the game. we would organize with the Mamelodi leadership that will come to Tanzania. We will allocate whatever the number of tickets that would be requested by Mamelodi, so that they can offer them to their supporters who would travel with the squad, or South Africans who would be living in Tanzania. The only aspect that was mentioned by the minister was that in the spirit of solidarity of the country, it's the first time we have got two teams in the quarterfinals. The nation should stand behind the teams rather than having a nation which is split against each other. Not visitors, not the people who are traveling to come and watch the game. Nonetheless, we will put one of the very best arrangement with Mamelodi. And if anyone from Sundowns is listening, apart from Coach Ulani, I know Coach will be more focusing on his team, but anyone from the leadership of Mamelodi who would be watching, who would be listening this space, get in touch with our leadership. I'll be more than happy to assist you guys to come and support your team here in Tanzania.
Thank you very much for that, Mr. Vice President. Mto, parting shot. This space would not have happened if it wasn't for you. Thank you very much, Mto.
It's a joy, man. Look, I think for me, Vice President and Coach, look, I'm looking forward to the atmosphere at Benjamin Papa. I just enjoy, you know, the atmosphere, just being part of it and just experiencing it. And also in Pretoria, I look forward to two beautiful, you know, games. So I'm excited. Can't wait.
Thank you, Mto. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for taking your time. All the requests that I'm seeing at the space, please do remember there's going to be a space after this. I'll be joining in as a speaker. Do follow me, and you're more than welcome to have your contribution there. We're going to be discussing what the Vice President has shared, what your thought is in terms of the match, and what your predictions will be. So do join into the space. Let's have a conversation, Tanzania, South Africa. Let's have a conversation. Let's have a proper go at each other, and let's build this united Africa that everybody wants to have. And let's build this moving forward, knowing that football is the common cause, and we would love to enjoy a match that everybody would love to see. I do thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for taking your time and listening in onto the space. I do acknowledge that we've also run a bit extra time, but having a person of Mr. Arafat Thatcher in the space was always going to dictate that we have a bit more extra time. I do appreciate the fact that he took his time. He could have been anywhere else doing the things that he needs to do, because he's a very busy man, but he took his time and he's in the space. And that tells me a lot about him wanting to be one with the supporters and him wanting to assure the South Africans and the Tanzanians of the football that will be displayed, and from the administrative side, the security that will be provided. Mpoza, I do thank you for being in the space. Mto, as always, I do thank you for making the space possible. Lekokola Space is our platform. We have every Thursday, 7 p.m. That's where we are. We're also available on Apple Podcasts. We're also available on Spotify. We're also available on YouTube. Do go search on Lekokola Space. Without any spaces, search on that. Subscribe. Thank you very much to our sponsors, Hollywood Bet. Thank you to the listener for taking your time and listening in. Remember to treat the people that you love right. I love you all. Cheers.